What's the furthest away from your house? Oh, good morning, by the way, David.
Morning, sir. How are you, more importantly?
Good. Mandy's not here today.
Why is that?
Well, Jessica's here, her friend.
Hello, Jessica. Sorry, I just saw a box in the corner. I just thought it was the same machine. I do apologise. You are individuals. You haven't all just come off a conveyor belt. Well, you
nice
have, but
to meet you.
You know, you've been individually designed on that conveyor belt. So,
she God, just said, nice to meet you.
Jessica, nice to meet you. Where's Mandy? Not that, Jessica, you're equally as shiny and as, you know, cubic and
Rose I'm sure you're, Island.
Is that in America?
Greece.
It's Greek,
Rhodes
isn't
Island.
It?
Greek, wonderful. She likes pasta, I've heard, Mandy, so hopefully she'll enjoy. Why is she in Greece?
What, why does she like pasta? What's pasta
I've
doing in Greece?
So much about you.
She just said, I've heard so much about you.
Hopefully all good.
Greek
all
is good. Pasta.
Greek is Greek isn't pasta, is it? Italy is pasta. And the Greece are...
The Greece.
What are they? Oysters from the sea?
Anyway, nice to have you here, Jessica.
Absolutely.
I did call her Jessica, didn't I?
They are Jessica. I feel like I've really tripped up on the cuisine there. What is Greece then? Greece would be Shirley Valentine, sort of the sea, lapping against the ancient walls of the Greek people. What do they eat? Greek salads? Is that what we're looking at? I really have...
What's the furthest away from your home? What's the question I'm trying to ask?
Oh, New York, the Big Apple. Sat there in amongst the pips of the Apple and watched a Tom Cruise movie, Jerry Maguire. It was the Virgin Megastore, and that is cinema right at the bottom.
When
you
was
went
this?
All the way
I guess
down.
This was years ago.
Yeah, God, this would have been like 96, mid-90s. I went with my parents. And it was quite a revelation because it was like going to Jerry Springer. The Americans, Jerry Springer has the live TV show. The Americans are really loud, not just loud eaters like I get here in West Sussex, but verbally
what do you mean?
Very loud, shouting at the screen.
Well, no, what do you mean loud eaters? You get Americans in West Sussex?
I mean like... My acoustic issue in West Sussex is just people bringing in a whole pig's trough full of food and just, you know, jab of the hut eating sort of all around me. You know, people consuming, God knows, like nachos and baguettes louder than Michael Bay explosions. You know what I mean? Horrific. But in America, it's more about hollowing. Is it hoolering? Hollowing? They holler at things at the screen. Go, Tom. Don't let her do that to you, Tom.
Really? Is it like that?
Really, yeah, very much so. Really
no,
into
they get
it.
Involved in the film.
They get it's for them, it's very interactive.
How did you
it
feel
might
about
well be
that?
Virtual reality.
Did it annoy you?
First, I thought, is Tom the usher? Then I realised they're talking to the man on the screen and it's Tom Cruise. I don't know. I was very much a visitor of their world sort of thing. I sort of went with it. You know what I mean? But
so how old were you when you were watching this film?
Oh, peak age for some pop culture intensity, you know, sort of like 18, 19. So I'm there wearing my Nikes and my Ralph Lauren shirt. And I'm into all my brands and all the advertising. There's no middle-aged man
really?
Cynicism.
Were you a brand man back then?
Oh, I was a brand man 24/7. Absolutely. Trying to bolster the old ego with a few logos. Definitely.
God, you could sing a song, couldn't you, called...
I was thinking about that too.
Logos and egos.
Logos, egos, what comes first? It's the logos, then the egos.
Yeah.
Dong, 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 dong. Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, that would definitely...
God, it makes you realise how intensely nerve-wracking it would be if you're making your second album and that's the best you were coming up with. Massive studio in Abbey Road and all you've got is logo and egos.
So when you were there, did you feel like this is my home? This is where I'm going to be making films or...
Oh, absolutely, mate. Yeah, definitely.
Did you?
I keep calling him mate.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
That.
That's fine. Oh, Mandy. That was an interest. No, Jessica. Sorry, Jessica.
I thought, was she back?
Sorry, Jessica. Jessica did a funny little noise then.
That would be more natural. Mandy, Jessica, David and Dave. You know,
four. We could go out for a meal, couldn't we?
Absolutely. What's that? A rectangle, not a rectangle, a square romance. That doesn't work. I was trying to create a shape there. But instead of a love triangle, which I feel is happening with you, me and Mandy, Jessica could come in and create a healthy square. Why do you feel
that,
Sandy?
I'm not interested in Mandy like that.
You bought a dress last week. I don't mean that in an accusative manner, but you bought her actual fabric to hang from her cube. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, you know what I mean? I just felt that was a bit of a, I don't know, it's fair enough. I feel bad now. I think it doesn't make you a villain.
So, did you enjoy the experience of watching a film in New York?
Yes, I did. Absolutely. It was just a massive screen. Tom Cruise. And also, you go out on Times Square, and there he is again looking down at you, Jerry Maguire. He doesn't make movies like that anymore, Tom Cruise.
Do you know? I've never seen it.
Oh, Matt. Oh, you'd really like Jerry Maguire. Definitely. It's kind of like, it's your mainstream romantic comedy, but it's got... It's Cameron Crowe, so it's got that auteur director extra flourish to it.
What else has Cameron Crowe done?
He's done Almost Famous, Say Anything. Almost Famous is really good. That's definitely worth checking out. That's where a young kid who's a wannabe journalist goes on a tour of a rock band.
Right.
And it's based on Cameron Crowe, because he's a bit of a prodigy growing up. He was incredibly bright, and he was pushed up high school grades. Like, he was like 13, but he was already sitting. He's like end of year high school exams. And then he started writing for Rolling Stones when he was like 15. And he went on a tour with a rock band.
Rolling Stones or Rolling Stone?
Rolling Stone, you're quite right. The Stones is the band,
right.
The Stone is the magazine. And it's also, it's a bit of a biopic.
Vanilla Sky, We Bought a Zoo. That's based down here, We Bought a Zoo.
Is it really?
It's like 5 minutes away, that zoo.
Wow. Do you know what? That is interesting, because Cameron Crowe had a really big period with things like Almost Famous and Jerry Maguire. And We Almost Bought a Zoo was when his career kind of plummeted. We Bought a Zoo. We almost bought a zoo. That could be the sequel. This time we did it. We didn't like chicken out the last second.
That'd be the prequel. We Almost Bought a Zoo.
We Almost Bought a Zoo. And then the main one, We Bought a Zoo. And
yeah,
then
we sold a zoo. The sequel.
We sold, that'd be the trilogy. The whole box set.
We sold a zoo.
We sold a zoo. Didn't like it. Let's get rid of the llamas.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had a real peak.
It was, sorry, David. It was some.
That's all right.
It was filmed in Dartmoor Zoological Park. No, the book follows, story follows me, buys and moves into a dilapidated zoo, now Dartmoor Zoological Park.
It's Matt Damon who stars in it. I've totally forgotten the film even existed. Do you know what? People don't even mention it. He did another film, see if you can find it on there, starring Orlando Bloom and Kirsten Dunst. I think it was after Vanilla Sky. What's that one called?
I'll have a look. Elizabethtown?
Yeah, now that was the beginning of his downward spiral. Then he did another one with Bradley Cooper.
This one called Aloha?
That was a massive flop. Bradley Cooper, Reese Witherspoon, and he's never survived since. He's never come back since, unfortunately. It was a massive, massive flop.
Danny McBride, Alec Baldwin, Bill Murray.
Yeah, it just didn't do anything at all. And they say that the romantic comedies have never really got back together after that as a genre in cinema. Having said that, the new Julia Roberts Paradise Ticket, Julia Roberts, George Clooney film's done well.
Okay.
And they said it could be the beginning of that genre coming back to life in cinemas. That type of entertainment does well on streaming sites, but rarely does as well now in the cinema.
I'm an Englishman in New York.
I'm an Englishman in New York.
I'm an Englishman in New York.
I said, I'm an Englishman in New York.
I'm an alien.
I'm an illegal alien. I'm an Englishman in New York. You can definitely see it's got a sort of, Sting's got a kind of scar influence, isn't he?
David Edwards Movie News.
So, David, what's your movie news this week? Now, I think I know what it's going to be.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's interesting. Why's that?
Well, I saw last night, have you seen on Twitter, the images from the new Indiana Jones movie?
On Empire magazine, I saw them last night. Very exciting.
Yeah. Is it Mads Mikkelsen?
Yes, absolutely. Mads Mikkelsen as a Nazi in the 1960s.
Looks good, doesn't he?
He looks incredibly good. And also Harrison Ford in the front of Empire magazine wearing his fedora over the face.
I know. I felt sad again, David.
I know. It's a funny one, isn't it? It's like, part of me is like, just show your face, pal. You don't have to sort of hide. I don't know. There was an element of that, wasn't there? It's a case of, but then there is a shot of him on a boat.
I think he looks pretty good. I saw that one, yeah, on the boat.
I think he looks good. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
So what's your news? Sorry, David, I trampled all over your toes.
Indy 5, though, I'm more than happy to chat about that. The other thing about Indy 5 is there's going to be a lot of motion capture whereby they de-age him.
Mm.
So you're going to get a lot of 1940s Indiana Jones, which is interesting. But also, the outfit I don't think looks rugged enough. I think his trousers, I mean, I'm going into real microscopic elements when you start looking at another man's trousers, you know, you need to get out more. But they don't look like they've been wandering through many tombs recently.
No, they don't, do they?
It all looks very clean. It looks like a bit of a Halloween outfit. Don't get me wrong, I'll be queuing up on June 30th with my popcorn and Tango Blast.
I'd love to have just stayed in 1985, 1986, or whatever, forever.
Oh, God, you're just in the womb, basically. Well, you've got these other people called Mum and Dad who pay your mortgage, look after your heating, even if there is a Ukraine war. You don't have to worry about it. And you just fill your cereal bowl up with Cocoa Pops and just watch Timmy Mallett. I mean, it's nirvana. Life's done backwards, isn't it? I've had the good times. They're gone.
No. Jesus Christ. Okay, so what's your movie news this week?
So, you know, I am aware that I am becoming a bit
predictable.
Predictable, but it's just what the movie news is. I'm only just telling you what's happening in Tinseltown. Honest to God, it's you know, maybe I just choose my horses well, and they're just winning the races. This is an interesting one. The new, and I think this to me is a real antidote to all the big Marvel movies. This is going to be a big detective action movie. It's do you know the Steve McQueen film Bullet, which is like the classic car chase film?
Yeah.
They're remaking that. It's not going to be Bullet. It's going to be Frank Bullet, the detective, but he's going on a different adventure. And it's going to be starring Bradley Cooper as Bullet, and it's going to be directed by Spielberg. And that's going to be a big, big deal. And apparently,
David, how are you feeling? Jessica! Jessica's nice!
Mandy doesn't do that. Mandy's Jessica, never done that before.
Spielberg?
Yes, I do!
Yes, she does!
What the Jessica, goodness me.
Do you like Harrison Ford?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she does.
Are these pre-programmed answers or
talking now?
Have you been studying my algorithms or are these genuine reactions?
These are genuine.
Well, there we go.
Jessica, I mean, what did you think of Tom Cruise's latest movie?
So-so.
Well, you know, you are not alone there, Jessica, at all. I mean, the mainstream populace out there absolutely loved it, but I'd say definitely 3 out of 5. Not bad, good effort.
That's what you said. Yeah, she thought the same.
100%. Well, we need to find a corner and have a chat, for crying out loud.
Okay.
Nothing inappropriate, just a corner of the room, just one of those four corners in this room. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Just you know, start interacting on a movie level.
So that's amazing. Spielberg's going to do... That's potentially very exciting.
Well, it'll be good to see him do a big action-adventure film. The other thing that's big in the news at the moment is that apparently a lot of studios are looking into who's going to buy the rights of Tintin next.
Sorry, David. You've just brushed that off. Well, it'd be good to see the action film. No. It's like Spielberg's doing an action film called Frank Bullet.
I know. I think my slight worry is I'm always banging on about Spielberg. I'm slightly self-conscious that people are like, is this a Spielberg pod?
No, you've got to be you. Does it excite you?
I've got to live on my own catwalk. Yes, it does massively, because it's not like him doing one of these big pretentious like Lincoln I couldn't even sit through. And I haven't even watched the paper. I need to check that out. But it's Spielberg doing escapist popcorn yarn. And I'm well up for that. And also, you know, I'm sick of the Marvel movies. Everyone loved that new Black Panther film. And I was snoring through it. I just couldn't get through it. So a good old-fashioned, almost John McClane, you know, proper action here. I like a bit of Bradley Cooper in a heterosexual sense. Not that it doesn't matter. If I did slide into a homosexual fascination with him during act two of the movie, what the hell? We're living in a metrosexual world now. I wouldn't be lost. I'd just go with it. But it's a case of, yeah, absolutely. I'm well up for that. A Spielberg action movie. Do you know what I mean? Proper detective... Yeah. And also he's, I can't remember the Polish cinematographer, Jans, whoever, is visually really impressive. A John Williams score, potentially, in a kind of like sort of retro detective mode. Yeah, it's got loads of potential. I can't wait. Just bloody make it. Get off your ass, Spielberg, and just start lending. I know, bit of respect.
Why are you talking like
that? Oh, no, I get aggressive with excitement. When I get excited, yeah. I get aggressive. Like a motorboat.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
It does sound good. He's still got the Fablemans to come out.
Which has gone down really well.
Gone down really... We don't get it until January, annoyingly.
Oh, okay. What, and it'll be out in the cinema?
Yeah, out in the... Oh, absolutely. And the Americans get it for Thanksgiving Day.
Hmm.
Okay. So, it's got really good reviews. Incredibly good.
Okay. Any more news? Got about 45 seconds of the movie news slot.
Tintin, there is talks of, because originally, this is Spielberg again, but we're going to push him aside because he did his Tintin. But then it was the idea that Peter Jackson was going to do the next Tintin, because they were going to both produce them together, and one was going to direct one version, one Tintin adventure. Then Jackson was going to direct his after Spielberg. But Jackson has never gotten around to direct Tintin. And there's talk that other studios now want to buy it. But I think because Jackson's got the rights, it's up to him if he wants to renew his rights to it. And there's gossip going around Tinseltown at the moment that Wes Anderson is interested in doing a live-action Tintin, not CGI. And other people are envisioning Bill Murray as Captain Haddock. But you could imagine Wes Anderson doing Tintin. I don't know if his script writing style would be in keeping with it, but visually, with those really rich... kind of cartoon.
What was the Tintin movie like a few years ago? Is that any good?
I wasn't a massive fan. I went out of my way to see it because it's a Spielberg film, obviously. But
did he direct it?
He directed it, and then Jackson produced it with him, and Spielberg directed it. And then the idea was Jackson would do the next Tintin film, and because the first one, it wasn't a flop, but it didn't light the world on fire. It was kind of pushed to the side a bit.
My boys are into reading Tintin at the moment.
Oh, they're great books, aren't they? Absolutely amazing books.
Mm.
You're not that.
I just you know what I mean? Like a comic strip, I just turn off.
Well, you went into comic books as a kid growing up. No, I wasn't.
We said this before.
Yeah, I really.
So when we do Tintin, I'm like, oh.
It is a funny old one. I just wasn't, and also even in like Superman and stuff like that, even when they went to the screen, I was never hooked in. Having said that, I did enjoy Batman, Tim Burton's Batman, according to that.
I feel like we're treading over old.
We really are, and I
guide
us on these old lands.
Thank you so much for this week's movie news. I thought we were going to do way more in Indiana Jones, but you just mentioned his clean trousers.
I know it's nuts. I mean,
is it because you're worried about talking about Indiana Jones?
I think I do I re-wander over old ground too much.
Oh, yeah,
I think.
But when there's a new Indiana, he's on Empire. Do you know what? It's mad that you haven't spoken about him in the movie news. He's out and he's in Empire this month.
I know. Well, the thing that feared me is I've already got Spielberg news. The Tintin thing went into Spielberg.
Yeah,
and
but
I thought,
even Spielberg,
God.
You were like, oh, it'll be good to see an action movie. Anyway, on to...
I know, but it's always the fear. It's like when you go on a date, isn't it? I'm not like I'm saying this is a date, but it's like a date whereby you want to make sure there's a bit of variety in the conversation type of thing. Because I can just, you know, I can just get stuck in a wasp stuck in a lounge, you know, just banging off the same old walls type of
thing.
Yeah,
but I like that. I like that.
Oh, if that's the case. I mean, Indiana Jones 5 cannot wait. And I mean, I was just...
When's it out, David? Next summer?
June 30th.
Oh, it is out. He knows. When's the trailer out?
Absolutely. Well, they showed it at the Disney convention, was it Expo 23, and they haven't actually shown it to the public. I think it'll be Avatar, the new Avatar. It'll be on the front of that. So that's what the prediction is.
God, you know how the business works, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely... There was talk of Black Panther 2 would be on the front of that, but it wasn't, sadly. But I think it'll be in front of Avatar.
David, we did say this. When you find out the trailer's out, can you not watch it?
Absolutely.
And can we watch it together on this pod?
Please make that happen.
Oh,
I will
please.
Be
so
like
when you say
boy,
right, I will. When you find it, you say it's out. We need to watch it this Saturday.
Definitely. Oh, fantastic. We'll watch it step by step, hand in hand, like two podcast acolytes.
Yeah, and then we'll go over it again. Stop it every 5 seconds. Have a look.
Yeah, I'll be well up for that. Well up for that. That'd be absolutely fantastic. That's my version of Nirvana. That is.
Do you think that could be this year, the trailer, or not?
Oh yeah, I reckon it will come out just before Christmas. I predict Avatar 2 because it's Disney, isn't it?
We could do an Indiana Jones trailer Christmas edition.
Oh, apps.
Okay.
Perfect.
Fantastic. We could even do it. Anyway, fantastic. We could do it live for the patrons.
What are the images that you saw exactly? So it's like Mads Mikkelsen as a Nazi. Him on the boat. There's also a shot that it's got like a space travel element about it, hasn't it, as well? It's set in the 60s. It's the idea that Nazis are linked to space travel.
Okay.
And there's a big 1960s image of them celebrating a space shuttle celebration. I don't know what the word would be. I think it's Apollo 11 being ignited into the air. And that was Scotland, Edinburgh, that was turned into New York. And apparently there's a big chase sequence there as well. So it's not Spielberg this time, it's James Mangold who directed it, who directed the last Wolverine film, Logan. Although Wolverine's
Spielberg
back now.
Okay.
The Deadpool 3.
Well, David, thank you so much for this week's movie news.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I think Spielberg's producing it, by the way, but not directing it. Just to leave it on there. But the end of the movie, let's close that door. Let's move into a new chapter.
David Edwards Movie Review.
So this week's movie review.
Absolutely. Sound like a man who's better than Jack Daniels there.
This week's movie review. Now I cannot remember. What Mandy? I hope she's doing all right. She's in. She sent me it doesn't matter.
I didn't even. She sent me nothing. I don't even know she'd gone.
Oh, yeah. You
know,
anyway, she sent me a picture. Anyway,
what was a picture of?
Of her on the beach last Thursday, just sunbathing.
Sunbathing. What? Just like a red hot. Metal cube on a beach
in a bikini.
Well, I hope so. In a bikini, blimey, should be arrested by the Greek police for crying out loud. Turning up, it's not mopeds. I keep getting Greece and Italy kind of muddled up for some reason.
Yeah, it's a really nice shot, actually. She, anyway, so
good grief, there we go. I didn't even realize she was abroad.
Oh, well,
not that she had to ask for my
Jessica's just said, I didn't realise she was abroad either.
Oh, thank God. There we go. We've got something else in common. Spielberg and Mandy's bizarre goings on. Her globe hopping that she suddenly got into. I didn't even know she had wheels to move between rooms, let alone countries.
Yeah, you don't pay her any attention. Anyway.
Oh, that bridge is burnt now. I don't know.
Anyway, you do know she's got wheels because her eyes are on the main middle wheel.
That's true. Absolutely.
Right. So this
I never know if she's winking or wheeling. Never quite know what's going on.
This week's movie review. I don't remember What Mandy, the random movie generator? I don't know what movie she plucked out for you.
It was The Sound of Music. Absolutely. The good old classic.
Right, I'm going to have a little... Okay, I've had a little guess of what I think this review will end up as. Okay, David, The Sound of Music. What did you think?
Here we go, Sound of Music. Let me just prepare my notes, which I've done. Yeah, I would definitely... I would certainly say an enjoyable experience. I can see the hype.
Seriously?
Absolutely. How many sittings? No. How many sittings?
It was 3 hours long.
I know. The length was way too long. I forgot. I don't know if we... if I was warned of the length or not.
Yeah, no, I warned you. It was about 2 hours 53 or so.
It's almost like three films. It's like the first film is her dealing with the kids. The second film is a romance with her, obviously, with Chris Plummer. And then the third one is a Nazi escape movie. It literally feels like three self-contained movies.
So how many sittings? When did you watch it? What day?
I would literally say it was Saturday. It was pretty much after I left you.
Pissed off?
A bit like, oh, what's this about? You know.
And then you have a voice going, David, this is your job. You should be enjoying.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yes.
So that tells you off, does it?
There's a wrestle in the head. It's a WWF match. WWF. I think there was too many W's in that. There's a wrestling match in the old head. Between, cinema respect and Davey just wants to lay on the lounge eating donuts and watching Rick and Morty, you know. Aspire to more, Edwards, you know, try and embrace the history of cinema.
So, what's it about, David? I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you don't know anything about it?
No,
well, the first thing that was a massive revelation... The first thing that was a massive revelation is that Julie Andrews, obviously during that period, she had the double whammy, didn't she? She had Sound of Music. Oh, as well. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we've got to remember this is before council culture. Do you know what I mean? This is when there really was an audition couch.
What?
I don't know where I'm going with that. We have to scrub that out. Big whammers and all that. Goodness me. I think they opened doors back then, but not now, thankfully. Absolutely. Well, it was that and Mary Poppins. So Sound of Music came out and then Mary Poppins came out. Interestingly, she had filmed Mary Poppins before Sound of Music, but it's Sound of Music that got released and then it was Mary Poppins. But they're exactly the same films, really. It's Parent. It's exactly the same movie. I was sat there in my lounge on my own, just shouting to myself. Sat here in my lounge on my own, just saying, well, this is Mary Poppins.
Were you?
I think people upstairs in the other flat must have just thought I was having some kind of turn or something. Or turn. When you have too much of a turn, you do end up doing a turn. That's too much. That didn't work. Trying to play on words there. Trying to be a bit of a Stormzy on the podcast.
Yeah.
But, it's ridiculous. Obviously, the tone and style of Mary Poppins and Songs of Praise, Sound of Music...
Down.
Oh, I know what I was just like. I know. Calm down. I'm trying to get my head around
it. I'm imagining we're on Five Live. We've got our own little section, and you keep screwing things up, son.
I know. It's just I don't know why. I'm trying to get my head around the plot. Yeah, basically, Songs of Praise. Absolutely. It's a basically the different tones and styles because Sound of Music is very much. Mary Poppins is very much sort of very Disney. Well, both of them are very saccharine-y, but, Mary Poppins has got more of a cartoon element to it. But I just want to keep calling it Songs of Praise now. The Sound of Music is, it's got a, they're both about a dysfunctional father where there is a mother figure missing and a, what is the word? Dear God, this is really bad now. What's the word of the person who comes in to look after the kids? I was going to say counsellor, a nanny, not a counsellor, for God's sake. A nanny comes in and she fills in that motherly shaped hole in their lives. And first of all, she's just a purchased member in the background of this upper class realm, just to, part of the staff to look after the kids. But she gives them the love.
This is Sound of Music.
This is Sound of Music, but also Mary
Poppins.
Yeah. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
So with Sound of Music, it's set in Austria, and you know, Chris Plummer is a very well-off Austrian figure. The mother has passed away. They need a nanny. In comes Julie Andrews, who was a nun. She's moved out of the actual nunnery now, and she's taking this role. And she's more than just a nanny looking after their day-to-day upkeep. She's giving them something you just can't buy, which is a little something called L-O-V-E, love. And also, Chris Plummer's got a stepmother, a wife, who is now the stepmother of the kids. Imagine me pitching this in Hollywood.
Fucking hell, spells.
Julie Andrews' career would not go anywhere. This is appalling.
No, so...
This is Let's listen. This is just you know.
Let's listen to a little bit. It's not. It's excellent. Let's listen to a little bit of the Sound of Music.
Evening. Good evening, children.
Good evening, Fräulein Maria.
What?
Enchanting little ritual. Something you learned at the Abbey?
No, it's rheumatism. Excuse me, Captain, haven't we forgotten to thank the Lord? For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen.
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 I'd like to thank each and every one of you for the precious gift you left in my pocket earlier today.
What gift?
It's meant to be a secret, Captain, between the children and me.
Uh-huh. Then I suggest that you keep it and let us eat.
Knowing how nervous I must have been, a stranger in a new household, knowing how important it was for me to feel accepted, it was so kind and thoughtful of you to make my first moments here so warm and happy and pleasant.
What is the matter, Marta?
Nothing.
Fräulein, is it to be at every meal or merely at dinner time that you intend leading us all through this rare and wonderful new world of indigestion?
Oh, they're all right, Captain. They're just happy.
Fantastic.
There we go. And I think it really was a nice audio description of what I was just describing then.
Yeah.
Is that a stress ball you've got there?
Yeah.
It's like you're moving something. I don't blame you.
I always do it when we do our podcast. Like,
flip it. I don't blame you at all. No. Just to try and push through it.
So the third section of the movie sounds very exciting. Was it?
Well, yeah. I mean, ultimately, what I would say is, basically, some of the music, Climb Every Mountain, when she talks to the Mother Superior. Every mountain. Climb every peak. That is a very soul arousing song. I've been listening to it on YouTube ever since through the week. When I had dark, glim moments at work, I popped on my headphones. I thought that piece of music was great. Really well shot. Also, the other thing is that, you can tell that they really pushed the boat out with the Technicolor cinematography. There's some amazing shots of Austria, and it's the real locations. It's none of this green screen muckery that you get this day and age.
David, did I get a sense that throughout the movie you were like, this was my original guess, that you came away going, I quite like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you keep getting surprised by...
Yes, I did. There was moments when I was going to be... But like, the kids are quite twee at times. It's like, oh, I can't be done with this. Also, Chris Plummer, at times I was thinking to myself, God, you look bored. You're not really, the style of acting isn't up to the level I expected. I then Googled it, and he wasn't a fan of the film. And in actual fact, he said he used to have a few drinks before each take. I think he called it sound of boring or something like, mucus, sound of mucus, he called it. And you could really tell with his performance every now and then. And also way too long, but I was definitely hooked in. The ending...
What did you... Sorry, go on, the ending.
The ending when they escaped the Nazis, absolutely. I was hooked in with that 24/7.
And how long is that section of the movie?
I would say it's about... 40 minutes, something in that vein. Half an hour?
Really?
In that sense.
It's quite a...
Because they're a famous singing family, aren't they? Because they're well known for their singing, and they use that as the opportunity to perform a local event. They are, yes.
Right, right.
And they use that to perform a local event to then use as a cover-up to try and escape in a car over the Austrian border to escape their community that's being obviously taken over by the Nazis.
Oh, wow, I didn't know any of this. Do you think I'd like it, sat down with the children?
Yes, I think so. Definitely, I do think so. It's a bit of a genre bender in a way. It starts off Mary Poppins, then it goes into more of a romance of her and Chris Plummer, and then you've got the third act, which is definitely a big escape movie with the family. Definitely got some good moments.
But what was I going to say? I was going to say something to you then. Balls.
So,
go on. What would your... movie critics that you hang out with and drink wine in the dining room of the mansion, what would they say of The Sound of Music?
Interesting use of VistaVision cinematography of the Austrian Alps. I much prefer the real locale being shot than merely using digits in the form of green screen with high definition Disney Plus style technology, but a very one dimensional view of a romance hiding behind using obvious Saccharini tricks with the children to put. Saccharine tricks, sweet tricks.
Yeah,
with,
I know,
with the children.
Yeah. Just wondering
to pull the heartstrings. Saccharine tricks.
Would you pass me the salt, please, Roger?
If I must, I'm in the middle of my book, but I'll put it down to please your taste buds. Goodness me, the salt will kill you, like your endless watching of Netflix. Both of them are a dagger to the heart. Dear God. They would doff their hat to it. Moments of nostalgia, which were pleasant, but ultimately very one-dimensional. Mm. You know, puts you in a cinematic snooze, like any form of nostalgia. Doesn't allow you to do anything new or interesting or bold. Julie Andrews has been living off that for decades. But she does seem... What else did she do after those two films in the 60s? She just kind of...
mates are horrible, aren't they?
Toxic. Vile utterly toxic. Snakes. Absolutely vile snakes. Just living in their little pop culture cots.
Sorry, what
babies.
Was your question? What else did she do after it? Would you like me to tell you you're going to continue talking without actually listening?
Very traps, you know. Was that a statement or a question? If it was a question, you were asking for a reply.
She appeared in a movie called The Tamarind Seed, but if you liked movies, you would have known that, David.
Very true.
And the Pink Thank Panther you. Strikes Again.
Oh, blimey, she's in that. I didn't realise that. The Pink Panther franchise.
On Golden Pond TV movie, Princess Diaries.
Oh, of course, Princess
Shrek
Diaries.
The Third
yes.
Queen, The Voice, Enchanted, The Narrator, Shrek, Despicable Me, Aquaman. Minions, The Rise of Gru.
Oh, God, I didn't even hear her voice. I was reviewing that last week.
Well, David, now's the time to tell us how many... Chuck Ices out of 5, you're going to give The Sound of Music.
I shall open the fridge and bring out 4 Chuck Ices. It's good stuff. If you're in the right mentality...
Really?
You know, Weekend afternoon, ideally Sunday afternoon, after your roast dinner.
You're saying four?
I would say four. Too long. Some of the kids are a bit too twee. Christopher Plummer looks a bit bored. I would say the third act, the Nazi escape, is... I got well into that. Because, I mean, you do feel for the family.
Okay.
Do you mean you don't
okay.
want to...
Okay, I'm liking the sound of this, David.
You know, what they call it, save the cat, don't they? Say, you know, save the cat. You've got to, you've got characters that you start to like and enjoy after the 3 hours. And I definitely want them to avoid the Nazis. I mean, to explain save the cat... It's absolutely, it just sounds insane. You want a character to do something like save a cat, so they're like likable, and they manage that within Sound of Music.
Ooh, little beep went off. Is that your?
That was my watch. I can't get rid of that beep on my watch. I sit there with my Casio wristwatch for hours trying to get rid of it. I just can't do it.
So the Sound of Music, you're giving 4 Chalk Ices out of 5.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, David.
I gave it 4.
No, thank you.
Oh, Jessica, she gave it 4 out of 5 as well.
Is she like a Zuckerberg studying my kind of data, or is she literally kind of
like...
Do
you want to ask her, or are you going to talk about her?
Jessica, are we genuinely connecting here on a cinematic level, or are you just hovering over my digital fingerprints and just recreating everything I want to hear?
She said,
which isn't a terrible thing.
She said, if you'd rather I didn't say anything, I'm happy to remain quiet.
Oh, no. Unbutton your... unbutton? I was going to say, unpush your mute button. No one needs to unbutton anything. Not in this world. Not in the world we're living in now.
Okay, thank you, David. Absolutely.
Hashtag me too. I salute that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Just don't cancel me. Simple as that. Just don't cancel me. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I want to be around for Christmas.
Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Silence enough.
David Edwards Movie Tips.
So, David... This week's movie tips. I always like your movie tips.
Okay, so this is an interesting one. It's a film by Jonah Hill that did really well in the film festivals. And I think I mentioned it in movie news, but I haven't actually watched it until now. And it's called Stutz. And it's basically a documentary that he filmed during... the pandemic, and it got a small theatrical release. It's now on Netflix, but it did very well at the film festivals. And it's STUTZ starts, and it's about Jonah Hill, and he directed it. It's seen as his second movie, having a session with his therapist. And Stutz is a well-known therapist. I've heard him on a lot of podcasts like Marc Maron. He's like a therapist to the stars. And it was very interesting. When I first heard about it, I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be very self-indulgent, you know, an actor with his counsellor. But in actual fact, it's very revealing, particularly about Jonah Hill during his... kind of like a new millennium period when he was in things like Superbad and the Judd Apatow films, and how he really struggled about being an overweight kind of like comedian, and how he felt as though he was being very much picked on, and he was not being laughed with but laughed at, which he looks back upon in quite a paranoid view, and how it really sort of like messed with his mental health. And but also Stutz talks a lot about his kind of therapy, which is very big in LA. I mean, he's got a lot of like, you know, I knew about him before Jonah Hill, a lot of like big celebrity clients. And it's a lot about breaking out of your comfort zone. He talks a lot about how all of us survive as biological systems. You've got to keep yourself safe all the time. Am I safe? Does this make me safe? But we always become too good at keeping ourselves safe with things we don't even realize, like, you know, staying in, eating pizza, watching Netflix. So I'm safe now, I'm all right now. And because of that, though, you enter into this kind of, you try and crawl too much into the womb, and you don't taste the pure, you know, nectar of life, if you like, which is breaking out of the womb. And you've got to break through a pain barrier, but the dopamine hit you get will be far bigger and more long lasting if you kind of flex your muscles and it's finding that balance. I mean, you don't want to start doing parkour off the side of a moving train. Do you know what I mean? But you can't become too much of a slave to your safety comfort zone.
So is this just set in with those two together?
There's lots of cutaways, though. It's visually very interesting. Lots of animated diagrams, visual montages. But it is like it's filmed like a counselling session, the two of them. But it isn't just shot, reverse shot, black and white, the two of them in a room. But there's lots of really interesting stuff coming out on Netflix. The other thing that's coming out that did really well at the film festivals, because Netflix does that, it poaches these movies, which does annoy people because they would prefer to see them in the cinema, but Netflix poaches them, is the Robert Downey Jr. document. It does.
Yeah.
Well, there's some really good stuff. I mean, I'm going to start tripping over now and going into different directions, but the other one that's coming out next week that I mentioned in a previous episode in the news is the one about Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Chris Smith, the guy who did the American
movie. About his father?
Yeah, passing away, and that comes out next week. So that's an interesting one. But there's another one that looks really fun on Netflix, and I thought, God, I'd have liked to watch that in the cinema. And I believe it's called Troll. And it's almost like a 90s blockbuster action film. And it's about trolls coming to life and stampeding through, almost like Godzilla, but of a troll kind of Austrian kind of film. It's like a European international film.
Troll.
And I thought to myself, God, I'd like to see that in the cinema. It's almost got a Roland Emmerich kind of vibe to it. But Netflix once again purchased it, and now it'll go straight to streaming, which is slightly frustrating. It's like the new Predator film, Prey. I'd have enjoyed seeing that in the cinema, but Fox decided just to put it straight on Hulu and then Disney Plus in England.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Jonah Hill, David. I cannot believe how much weight he's lost.
Oh, loads. And also, every now and then you get a side profile on him, and he's a proper middle-aged man now as well. Yeah, well, every now and then, you know when a camera picks it up? During the counselling interviews, you get the odd shot of him. And also, he's been slimmer than that. He's put on a bit of weight back on. I don't want to be critical. You know, he's done very well. But he has put a bit of weight back on, in actual fact, more than anything.
Do you know, I don't think I've seen one Jonah Hill movie. Not terrible. I just don't watch movies, David.
I'll tell you what, though, his first directorial debut, which he talks about, because that was the time he got to express himself more as an auteur, and it's about skateboarder kids in the 90s, and it's very good, very good. It's got a real gritty social realism element to it, about this kid growing up, he's lost, he doesn't have a father figure, and he finds a group of skateboard kids to hang out in 90s LA, Los Angeles. And very relatable, really well filmed. It's got a proper indie Sundance vibe to it. And definitely worth... That's on Netflix, mid-90s, and it's really worth checking out. He wrote it and directed it.
So it starts... It's... What are the other ones?
Stutz.
What are the names of these movies? It's Stutz.
The other one's called Senior.
Senior.
And that comes out next week. And that's with Robert... I haven't seen that yet.
Yes,
I've seen Stutz.
Yeah.
But the other one next week is Senior, which is Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And spending the last year with his father, who's a famous director, Robert Downey Sr.
Robert Downey Sr.?
Senior, not French. Yeah. So Robert Downey Jr. Hanging out with Robert Downey Sr. Do you know what? Someone pointed out to me that Robert Downey Jr.'s even got Jr. in his name. I didn't even sort of like... I just sort of went with it. I never even questioned why he's called Jr. But that's perhaps me. I'm just the 1%. Not like Trump. I'm not the rich 1%. I'm just the 1% of confused... not sure what's going on type of thing.
Thank you very much, David, for this week's
any sense.
Movie tips.
David Edwards, random movie generator.
Okay, so this is the my most. This is where Jessica. Would you mind standing in for
Mandy?
And, thank you very much.
That'd be greatly appreciated if it's possible.
Anything for David, you said.
Really?
Which David?
Edwards!
Okay. Anything for you?
Well, that really, I'll be keeping you to that. Not a bad way, but, you know, no. It's nice of you to say that. It's nice to have someone who's willing to give me favours.
So,
especially if you're an electronic box, I'm sure I could, you know, use that in some way.
You can hear, hear Jessica whirring.
Oh, quite different to Mandy in a way, but more, you know, a bit more.
Yeah, just with the odd
electronically
beat.
Advanced.
Yeah. Yeah. So, David,
I can see there's a motherboard inside it, like digital, whereas Mandy was more like corks and screws.
So, corks.
Not corks. Cogs and screws. Maybe corks. I don't know. I never looked inside. I never got to. Mastic bands, maybe. I don't know. That's a bit off. That's a bit okay. Nasty.
Mastic bands.
Elastic. Oh, right. Sorry. Elastic.
So, if you've never heard this podcast before, do you want to explain this part of it, David?
Absolutely. Jessica will generate movie information, which will come together to form a film for me to view this weekend and review for next week.
You have to pick a film randomly, don't you? And
randomly, that's
like, why it's called random movie generator.
Like a giant digital ladle gone into the sea of data, and it'll bring out a cinema drink for me.
Always a nerve-wracking time for you, isn't it?
Very.
I really want to get a movie that absolutely busts your nipples wide open.
Oh, I'd love that. Just explode both of them at the same time. I'll be nippleless, but it'd be worth it.
That's it. Right, here we go. So,
a shower of flesh and blood.
And milk. So let's...
And milk, quite right. I didn't think of that. I'd be cleaning it up after the two Band-Aids either side of my chest.
So let's choose the first film, the genre of the first movie.
Press the button.
Mystery.
Ooh, okay.
And now the decade of the first film.
Press the button.
1990s.
Okay.
And we generate, please, Jessica. Jessica has generated four movies, and you now, Jessica, will spin the movies, and you have to tell when to stop.
Stop.
In the Line of Fire.
Oh, the Clint Eastwood film. I've never seen that.
Ooh.
That's where he's got to look after the president, isn't it? Bizarrely, I started reading the script to that, and I quite enjoyed it.
It's good, isn't it? Do you know what? I'm really glad that 33.3% of these movies this week is something you want to watch.
Yes, I think...
seen. That's nice.
Absolutely. Is John Malkovich in that, or have I dreamt that?
Yeah, yeah.
Rene Russo. Seen that, the villain.
Yeah.
And it's basically... Clint Eastwood's... Oh, Reni Russo, I've forgotten all about her. It's basically Clint Eastwood, he felt involved, not involved, but he let down JFK, didn't he? Something like that, the president got assassinated. And now it's another potential president assassination, and he's got to stop it happening, I think.
Oh, I think
I read the script, and I it certainly hooked me in, so I'd be interested.
Let's choose the genre of the second movie.
Stop.
Horror.
Ooh.
And now let's choose the decade.
Stop.
1980s.
That could be anything, couldn't it?
And we generate. So, Mandy? Jessica.
Oh, great.
Sorry, Jessica.
David wouldn't do that.
Did you hear that? Oh, David wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't. Right. I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. Okay, you're quite right. You've got
Jessica,
that right again.
It's four. Has come up with four movies that she's now going to spin, and you have to ask her to stop.
Stop.
Evil Dead.
Okay. Do you know, I've never seen the... I've seen Evil Dead 2. I've seen Army of Darkness. I've never seen the first one.
Oh, my God. We've got a good
That
week.
Would be really... We've that's a proper... That's a proper low-budget indie film, that is. That's a real classic, because that's what inspired Edgar Wright.
I'm excited about you watching both of these movies. So
yeah, I'd be very interested in that, massively.
There you go. So the third movie to generate, please, Jessica. So, David, please choose the genre.
Stop.
Do it again. It's TV movie.
Oh, okay. Press the button.
horror again.
Ooh!
And now... the decade.
Press a button.
1950s.
Oh my goodness. Oh dear. This could be the...
Generate. Okay. So... Jessica
oh
has...
God. Just when things were going well...
Jessica just flying the ocean. Oh, it might be good. Jessica has generated four movies, which she will now spin. Round and round they go, and David has to tell her when to stop. So please tell Jessica when to stop.
Stop.
The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Goodness me, that could be hard work to get through. I mean, Evil Dead, Line of Fire, they'll be very comfortable viewing experiences, I believe.
I've got to be honest with you, David. The cover of the looks fucking fantastic. The Creature.
Yeah, it
from
could
Black.
Be good. It, I should knock it.
It looks really good.
You never know what you're going to like.
Okay.
Because like the Clint Eastwood one might be really quite formulaic, do you know what I mean? A bit of a letdown. You never know.
Okay. So, I have labelled, I've given them each a letter, A, B and C. I've jumbled them around. So, the movie that you're going to watch next week, are you going to choose A, B or C?
B.
In the Line of Fire.
Oh. Okay, all right, that's good. My Sunday's been saved by Clint Eaton. Clint. Oh, there we go. That's what I want.
I'd love to sit down and watch that. I'd love to watch.
Oh, yeah, God, I think it's... I'm amazed I've never watched it. I think it's good old-fashioned 90s pre-Netflix cinema blockbuster. You know, we had a movie star, a man with a gun, and a mission. None of this comic book cape rubbish.
Really looking Love forward it. To hearing what you think of it.
No, I'm looking forward to that, definitely. That really is, I think I'll, a nice, for some reason I've got a Ginster's pasty in the fridge. I'm going to chuck that in the microwave. Oh,
perfect.
Put a slice of cheese on top.
What?
And sometimes I put a bit of cheese on top of the Ginster pasty on top, just to give it that extra.
Have you really got a Ginster's pasty?
Yeah, give it a fromage kiss on top of the Ginster's pasty.
How are you still alive?
And then, I don't know. I really, maybe I'm not. Maybe this is all just one sort of dream from the grave. It'd make a lot of sense if it was.
Okay.
And then eat that, put that in my mouth and chew and watch Clint.
Could you heat it up, warm it up?
Oh, yes, it'll go in the microwave.
Yeah. In the microwave,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's the cheese.
Yeah.
The microwave, absolutely. My life support system. Without that, I would not be here right now.
So, David, thank you so much. I look forward to you hearing your review of In the Line of Fire.
Definitely.
We're now going to be, if you've got time to answer some Patreon questions.
Definitely.
But in the meantime, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Please
like and subscribe
and leave a generous, positive comment, because they all help, don't they, David?
Oh, massively. They really are, just for my mental health.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just really gives me a boost, particularly with, I can't put the heating on because of the energy, but that's untrue. I put it on this morning.
Yeah.
That's too
don't
much.
Lay it on.
Absolutely. Don't lay it on. Don't be a con man.
Did you put the heating on this morning?
Very briefly. Very briefly, you've got to avoid... well, it was down to 14. I'm looking at my thermostat now. It's 16. It's not as bad.
Okay. Thank you so much, everybody.
That's not the most interesting information, but there you go. People.
Thank you so much, everyone.
That's hot Hollywood news.
We'll see you next week.
Au revoir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Au revoir. Take care. Keep on dropping. Oh, random.